Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. The Cheltenham Festival is on the horizon, but we've got a stellar weekend card to get through first. We're going to be taking a good look at all the action from Sandown. It's Imperial Cup Day, really good card on its own merits, and some clues potentially to who's going to be hitting form ahead of those huge 4 days in the Cotswolds. And flat fans, it's not long to go before the link, and we've got the specified trial race for it run at Wolverhampton. That's one of three races we'll be previewing at Wolverhampton on the show. Before we get stuck into the weekend card, there is plenty of Cheltenham coverage, including already online is our Cheltenham Festival preview with Unibet. Nicky Henson on the show, as well as Ed Nicholson, as you'll see in the bottom right corner if you're watching along. That is well worth a watch, so go do check that out. And we've got a special edition of the Postcast coming as well for the Cheltenham Festival. Our top five bets for the meeting shared across our panel of four will be looking to repeat some really good success. Jaguar Keith will be nodding his head along, I'm sure, remembering that success, our winning nap for us last year. Can we do it all again? Find out on Sunday. So our top five bets of the Postcast. Make sure to check those two pieces of excellent content out ahead of Cheltenham. And we've got so much more to come during the 4 days itself. But as I mentioned on the top, a good weekend of action to look through first. And we're going to start at Sandown with the 150, the European Breeders' Fund Betfair National Hunt Novices Handicap Hurdle Final, the EBF Final, otherwise known as. And it's Sean Byrne and Ollie Murphy who team up with a favour. Of course, Sean going for that elusive first Cheltenham Festival winner next week. Let's see if he gets a boost here. Scorpio Rising at 5-1 is your favourite. Unknown Entity for Team Skelton, 11-2. Kaka's Cousin, 17-2. Gentleman to Boot for David Pipe at 9-1, along with Laguna Beach for Nicky Henson and Four Springs, Ben Pauling. Cinquenta at 12s, Tennessee Tango 12s, Wolf Walker 12s, Jury's In 14s, Raf Kenny 14s, Draco Malfoy 16-1, Precious Metal 18s, and G-Force Flyer 20. Before we get stuck in, let's see who's on the show joining us for this one. And in the top right, if you're watching along, it's our betting editor, Keith Melrose. Bottom left, Matt Rennie, Racing Post journalist, our star in the north of the country. And as always, Ed Nicholson, who we're going to start with from Unibet. Ed, an 11-1 winner last week. There's plenty of big prizes here. You got another big prize for us?
Yeah, I think I have, actually. It's a really tricky race. We all know that. This EBF final has been won by some fair sorts in the past, normally horses that go on to improve for a step up to chasing as well. But some stables do target this race. And I like a horse from the stable of last year's winner. Jamie Snowden won it with Lawrence Bay, rated 1-2-3. And he's got Cinquenta, who's rated 1-2-5. The horses are always quite closely rated, but you do want a horse that's kind of to the top end of the 120s, I think. And Cinquenta is going that way, 1-2-5. Like Soft Ground, chasing type, one last time out. He beat another one of today's horses at last time out at Market Raisin by 8.5 lengths. But he's up. He's got a £9 difference with that horse, whose name has escaped me. But I still think he's going to improve, and he looks like a horse who is better with a bit of soft ground underfoot, and that is going to be the case this weekend. It was G-Force Flyer that he beat by 8.5 lengths. I like the way that Jamie Stone has been talking about him. He said he's a similar mould to Lawrence Bay, and that he was always going to go for this race after the Market Raisin win. So there's a lot of positives for him, and he's a big price at 12-1. And the stable remaining good form, 81% runners run into form. Lots of positive, difficult race, and we are going to go money back second or third. And you've also got the option of having an extra place in this race as well.
And that's Cinquenta is Ed's selection. What's 14-1 now, 12-1 with Unibet at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon. Cinquenta, potentially another winner for Jamie Snowden. Keith, great to have you back on the show. It's a funny old race, isn't it? It's big chasing types of the future, traditionally, who are on their way. How do you assess Saturday's race?
Well, I always watch it because a lot of these horses are going to be the novice chasers I'm watching come the autumn. And obviously I'm going to be watching out for a lot of Ben Pauling horses, and he has had a winner in this race. He won it 2 years ago, the Champagne Classic. And He's got one in here. The main choice from the yard is a horse called Four Springs, who is bred, like usual, for a, he's Tim Radford owned as well, you know, so you know the sort of horses Radford buys. He's a wide margin point winner, stoutly bred on the dam side. He's run three times over hurdles. On the third of those, the most recent one was after a break and wind surgery, he ran at Warwick and he turned up against Sinatra. Now, Sinatra's about 12s for the county hurdle. You know, a good horse and a fast horse. And Sinatra made him look slow. There's no question about that. But this horse has never run over as far as 2.5, and he's never seen anything like the Sandown Hill either. So he's going to relish the extra emphasis on stamina. He's been given a really low mark of 118. If you gave me that on a novice handicap chase in October when he turns out on his chasing debut, I'd be pushing all in on it right now. He's going to be a much better chaser than that, I suspect. Cheap pieces have gone on, which might keep his price up a little bit, actually. People often don't like that sort of thing with young horses, but he wandered a little bit at Warwick when Sinatra went past him. I think these cheap pieces are just to keep him straight a little bit. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. And you're getting double-figure odds. So in a race where, you know, there's going to be lots of nice prospects. You've got a horse that fills a lot of the criteria available at double figures. So I'll be having a little bit on Four Springs.
Yeah, it could give Ben Pauling a massive boost before what could be a massive Cheltenham Festival as well. Of course, the jukebox man, but loads of chances for him next week. Four Springs at 9-1 with Unibet is Keith's selection. And finish us off, Matt.
Yeah, I'm starting with Keith, actually, with Four Springs as well. For exactly the same reasons. I did look at his mark and think, wow, that's particularly quite, well, very muchly, you know, what he's done so far. I think he's going to far appreciate going back right-handed. He's an Irish point-to-point winner, so he's only going to improve as he goes up in trip as well. And I know he was beaten at Market Raising on Boxing Day, but that race wasn't too bad, actually, because the second since he ran a really good race in the Moor Battle Hurdle last week in open handicap company. So that was a nice little boost for the form. I just think this is probably the for all of the season, and it was a nice little freshener up at Warwick last time, of course, that maybe didn't suit, you know, behind a rival who, you're looking at collateral form, ran behind Active Innocence, who could be top class for Nicky Henderson. You know, he's going for the Turners Novices Hurdle next week. So there's real good form lines if you delve a bit deeper there. And as Keith said, I think with a mark of 118, I think there's going to be plenty more to come.
Yeah, it's one of those cards, isn't it, where as soon as there's a win, you're looking back through the form and going, okay, what can we learn here? What implications does this form have? As does the second race we're going to look at, the 227 at Sandown, the Betfair Imperial Cup, and your favourite at 100-30, Mondo Man. I mean, he's been in trackers since that second to Lalambra on his first start for the stable, hasn't he? 100-30, Mondo Man. Reckless Eric, 6-1. Go Dante, looking for a three-peat at 10s, Rubber Ball 10s, and General Briar as well. Jack Hyde is 11s, along with Brace for Landing. Nick of Block of Glory, 12-1. Atherdale, 14. Star of Gooting, 16. And Ooh Betty, 18-1. Keith, we'll start with you. Talk us through the Imperial Cup.
Three-peat. I remember before three-peat was a word. the first time it got mentioned in racing was Goldikova, when she went to the Breeders' Cup, and the Americans got hold of it, so they gave it a name. I've never heard it used in racing before then, part of the furniture now. I think that yard might win the Imperial Cup, and I also think a horse that's been second to Lulamba might win the Imperial Cup, but it's neither Godante nor Mondo Man. There's an Ollie Murphy horse in here called Fingal Bridge, who is really talented. He won a listed novice hurdle at Exeter around this time last year. He gave Regent Stroll, who's now got an RPR of 146 over fences, he gave him a bit of a kicking, to be honest. And chasing just didn't seem to work for him. We can say that about how many Ollie Murphy horses, to be honest, you know. A lot of them just don't quite do it over fences and then come back and have good hurdling careers. You know, he's second to Lulamba on that horse's debut at Exeter, won a match race next time, flopped to air, and they've gone, you know what, we'll go back to hurdles. That mark of 139 is plenty exploitable enough. And as a result, he gets in the Imperial Cup. He's top weight. You know, effectively, it's a knock to 140 this, which tells the story of the way top 2 mile hurdles, handicap hurdles are going in this country. The talent pool isn't really there. A good horse can pick them up and carry them by extension of that. And Fingal Bridge might be a good horse. I think he's a very big price at about 16-20-1.
Yeah, was 20-1, now 18-1. So Keith is a fan of Fingal Bridge. Not so much the word free Pete. Ed, what's your selection here?
Yeah, Fingal Bridge is interesting because I actually backed him at Warwick and I was disappointed that he didn't win. But looking back at the form, that was they were 28 lengths clear and he is obviously dropping down in trip. So that he did travel really well that day as well. So that's an interesting selection, I think. But it's not my selection. I'm going to go for Rubber Ball, who bounced back to form last time out when winning, having previously pulled up. He's been put up a fair amount, £8 for that victory, I think. And he's back on 1-2-8, which is what he started on at the beginning of the season. But the reason why I kind of looked at Rubber Ball was because he's won, he's come back to form, but also the form of the trainer. Neil King is absolutely flying. 6 winners from his last 8 runners in 14 days. Suggests to me that his horses are in cracking form. I don't know about you. And he's been running some horses in some good races and winning. And this is obviously another top handicap, and it will be difficult having gone up the handicap. But I just thought, given the stable form and the horse returning to his form last time out, he was worth chancing at a fair price.
Yeah, brings a bit of quality, doesn't he, Edifine? From a bumper horse, he looked very, very good in the start of his career and nicely done with a bouncing back as well. Matt, finally, what's your Imperial Cup selection?
I'm going right at the bottom of the weights, and he's just snucking because we've got reserves for this. It's brilliant to see such a big field for the Imperial Cup this year. I'm with General Breyer for the Chris Gordon yard. Now, he's been very progressive. It's obviously going to be the toughest test he's faced, but he's been very progressive this year on this dry, the unseasonably drier ground we had in that period between sort of November and early January, and there's 1 millimetre, 2 millimetre max rain at Sandown forecast before race day and the water in. So it's going to be a pretty sound surface. He's won his last 2 starts really, really well. And he was a big drifter last time at Newbury. Went off about 11-1 in the end, but he won with authority. And I was looking, going right back to the start of his hurdles form way back at Newton Abbott in September. I didn't think he'd be saying this form would be boosting someone's profile, but he ran in a race where he was running really, really well. He came down at the last when he was banging them with a chance, and 4 of the 6 runners in that race have gone on to win since, and one of them was the winner that day was Apaidanom, and he's become really, really progressive in handicaps company to the extent I think he's in single figure odds maybe for the Martin Pipe next week, and one of the Skelton's big handicap fancies. So he's been keeping this real good form in his locker. The concern is with Chris Gordon's yard is they haven't had a jumps winner in 35 days. But it could all change, as you say. It's the big weekend before Cheltenham. Obviously, they've got Base Hunter in the champion bumper as well. And this just might be the horse who could be a really, really good young handicapper for the yard, which, bar Go Dante in the last 2 runnings, you do need to win this type of contest. So I just thought, sneaking in at the bottom of the weights, he'll lead, and maybe a few horses he'll be playing catch me if you can with them.
Yep, I 100% agree with you, Matt. And as you say, could be a big boost for Chris Gordon, head of that champion bumper one at Bass Hunter, who he says is potentially the best horse he's ever been involved with. We should say, before we move on, this is an extra place race. So 5 places on the Imperial Cup, a huge field, an absolute cracker on Saturday. So we'll look forward to that. We move on to the 3 o'clock at Sandown. It's rare to have a bumper on ITV here. It's the British Stallion Studs EBF Mares Standard Open National Hunt Flat Race. And your favourite at 9-2 is Birds of a Feather. The Flaggy Shore for Ben Clark at 5-1. Millstat Abbey at 6s. Timazel at 7s, along with Loon Brilliante. Western Charm for Anthony Honeyball does so well in bumpers, doesn't he, at 9-1. Lennon Grove for Gavin Cromwell, of course, looking to see if I Know the Way You're Thinking can defend the Gold Cup. He's 10-1. Capri Cosi at 11s, along with Gidge. Kamid Al-Kanda, 14s. Oren Esther, 25s. And Jones Choice, the outsider, at 40-1. Matt, you can kick us off here. The listed bumper, what do you like?
Yeah, well, it's not a race for me. I'll probably have a watch in brief. You say it's rare we do have a bumper race on ITV, so it's a bit of a novelty. One that was slightly took my mind was the Flaggy Shore for Ben Clark. She bumped into a quite a smart winner at Market Raising in a similar contest last time, and the vibes afterwards were I remember reading Ben Clark, really good interview in the Post. They were absolutely gutted she got beat that day because they think so much of her. Maybe this sort of track would suit her better, given it's a bit more of a test. The market raising probably has a bit more emphasis on speed in my mind, and it'd be watching. But I'd be interested to see if she could be a really useful prospect for Ben Clark.
Yeah, I think she's a nice prospect, and I completely agree with you. I think Sandown better than market raising for her. So 5-1, she'd definitely be one of my main fancies of the weekend. Keith, your view here. Not often we get to hear your verdict on bumpers.
No, I'll watch this race back to see any good horses, but I'm not betting it.
Yeah, okay, Ed.
Yeah, interesting race on ITV. I mean, it is competitive, 90 to the field, which is what betting public like. So it's, from that point of view, it'll be good. But it is all about the future of these horses, I think. Although this is a listed race and good horses have won it. Lucia, who've ended up finishing third in a Unibet Champion Hurdle, won this. And I've got really high regard for Honky Tonk Highway. And Charisma Cat is running in the Mayor's Hurdle next week at Cheltenham. And she won this last year. So it's not a bad race, but it's and it's 92 the field, so it's competitive as well. I don't know much about these horses, but the one that I do know a lot about is Birds of a Feather, who won really well at Warwick last time out. So that was Max Comley's first ever bumper winner. And if you get a chance to look at the race on the replays, do. It was quite something. If you look at Birds of a Feather's form figures before she won her point to point, it spells out UFO. And she acted like a UFO in that particular race at Warwick. She showed sudden acceleration to go clear. And then she dispatched very high cruising speed. And she disappeared from the radar towards the end of the race. And it was very difficult for her to pull up. If you look at the race back, David Bass couldn't pull her up. And she went so far clear, you swear she'd come back to the field. Now, obviously, that probably tells you more about the rest of the field than her. But she's obviously very good. I don't know whether they'll let David Bass grab an early lead like she did last time or they did last time. But I would be interested to see how Birds of a Feather gets on, to see whether that was just a one-off and it looked better than it actually is. Because she could be a decent sort.
Yep, she is 92 favourite Birds of a Feather. Last race we'll be looking at Sandown is the 3:35. This is the best odds on Betfair Exchange Handicap Chase over 3 miles. And we have a Venetia Williams trained favourite in Buxy Des Esperas. Colour Mystic 7-2. Sound and Fury 9-2. Welcome to Cart Trees at sevens, along with Invincible Neo. Tune in a box at sevens as well. Yesterday 10s. Certainly Red 16s. Imperial Alex 18s. Keith, no view on the bumper, but a 3 mile handicap chase at Sandown. This is much more your bag, isn't it? What's your verdict?
It is. And it's a race where I end up sort of looking at one by default a little bit. Calla Mystic beat Captain Bellamy last time, but tanked all over him and barely held on. And not sure 3 miles at Sandown's what he's after at this moment in time. Welcome to Cartrez is bombed last time. That was pretty disappointing. There's a lot of these that I'm not mad keen on. And there's a horse in here who's very binary, but who I quite like when he gets rolling, and that's Sound and Fury. He's won twice at Carlisle this season, stiff, right-handed Carlisle, and he's now at stiff, right-handed Sandown. And he finds like nothing on earth this horse when he gets rolling. And if he gets out in front, and if it turns into enough of a test, and he's on a going day, they'll really do well to get past him. There's no horses in this race that you're the sort of doughty stairs that will get past him. And if he has one of his bad days, I'll back him for the Highland National next month at Perth, because that's the sort of race this horse will win. And if he keeps rolling, he can even come back for the London National. That's his sort of race. They're the sort of races this horse wins. And he's landed in a relatively weak sort of 3 mile race at Sandown here. So I think he's worth a shot here.
Yeah, does look pretty sort of standard this for a big Saturday handicap chase, I have to say. That's my reflection on it as well. Ed, yours?
Yeah, I was at Nicky Henderson's recently, and this wonderful giant horse came out besides the Land Rover, and I asked who it was, and it was Calla Mystic, and it looked absolutely fantastic. Looked like it was breathing fire, ready to go. So that performance first time out was good, as was mentioned, just held on in the end, but travelled quite well through the race. I think there's more to come from Calimistic, and that would be the selection to hopefully start the week well for, or the end of the week and the beginning of next week well for Nicky Henderson and Nico de Boyenville. Just a mention to Yesterday. This is a horse that I like. I know the owner. He was bought at the Cheltenham sales when I was with the owner, and they've always thought he's going to be a staying chaser, but he's had a lot of kind of, not issues, that's the wrong word, but he's been off a lot of times when hopefully he should have been running. But he is a decent sort. And I noticed they're going to put cheek pieces on for the first time. He was travelling really well when you see that F in his form at Ludlow. And he was going every bet the winner. And I spoke to John Joe Jr. after the race. He said he would have won, but he kind of folded on landing. He didn't make a mistake. It was very weird. He just fell on landing. I think he's still well handicapped Yesterday, and I wouldn't be surprised if the cheek pieces improved him. So that would be an each way play in the same race, though, that I can't go off Calimistic, who I really was impressed with when I went to Seven Barrows.
Okay, well, maybe you want the forecast then, Ed, don't you? We've got the first two sorted. Thanks very much for that. Matt, finish us off.
Yeah, it's funny you said it's one of those races where you are taking a chance in it, whether a horse bombs out or decides to put their best foot forward. And that's exactly what I'm doing with Welcome to Car Trees. Look, he just, for some reason, in two of the three starts this season, he's just absolutely not shown a thing. And look, I'm not doing a yard, whether it's maybe a case of he just, last time was no travelling, and at Cheltenham in October, it was, Cheltenham October was never travelling. Yes, the last time out was stopped quickly. So maybe he's just a horse that, if he doesn't want to be on a going day, he makes it well known by not running a race completely. But his win here over the course and distance in December, I think in this sort of a weak enough race, brings the best form, just simply the best form. He held on to beat New Order, who has since run really, really well in a great Yorkshire chase. Indoor for Fergal O'Brien's run well since, and was quite well touted for the handicap chases at Cheltenham next week. I think he's been ruled out of that, of the meeting. And then in fourth, you had Well Beaten Was Ideal De Boer. He ran a stormer in the Mandarin handicap chase at Newbury in late December. So, you know, it's not like star form that you might find in a handicap, but in a race like this where you do have questions about a lot of the leading protagonists, I think it's very much more than worth another, forgive Welcome to Cartridge, to be on a going day where he has performed well at in the past. It maybe he might be a bit of a character and just does well at this place. So yeah, I'm sticking with him off only £4 higher from when he won at the course in December.
He is 7-1, and Paul Nicholls, of course, hoping himself to give him a boost ahead of a big Cheltenham for him potentially as well. Supplemented Tutti Conti for the Unibet Champion Hurdle on earlier this week. That wraps up Sandown. We will be heading to Wolverhampton shortly, but if you are an expert punter, do make sure to check out The Edge. It's all new Racing Post tool, could certainly help your punting. Here's a bit more.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m. either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Okay, we're heading to the all-weather and a really good card at Wolverhampton to look forward to. Some clues for the rest of the season. So we've got three races which we're going to go through. The first one is the 205, the Make the Move to Midnight Handicap. This is a 6-furlong sprint handicap, really competitive race. Nebworth for Richard Hughes, potentially one of the standouts. The Lincoln Trial, BetGM Lincoln Trial at 2.42. Not often the best trial for the Lincoln it's been in recent years, but it's a good race. And some big names in there. Oisin Murphy potentially got a big chance as well. And the 3.15, the BetMGM Lady Wolfrunner Stakes. This is a listed contest where we get to see the Gimcrack winner, Cool Hoof Luke, or Gimcrack winner from 2 years back, make his, only a second start since that. And Matt, we'll come to you first, because You're our man in York. Cool Hoof Luke, potentially one of the sort of star acts at Wolverhampton. What's your verdict on those three races at Wolverhampton?
Yeah, we'll start with the best one at 3:15, the Cool Hoof Luke. It's funny, I remember being, I was in the press room for that race, and we were thinking at the time it was probably one of the worst gym cracks you've ever seen run. But he beat Shadow of Light that day. He went on to do, be one of those illustrious horses that did the Middle Park and the Dewhurst Stakes. Doubling in fourth was Big Mojo, who was, we know what he did last year in the Spring Cup. And then way down the field was Camille Prezzaro, who managed to win a Prix de Jockey Club. So it turned out to be one of the best gym cracks we've probably ever seen in terms of variety as well. I've never known there to be a Prix de Jockey Club winner of a gym crack. Look, I thought he ran a really, really good race after a long, long time off. Last time behind Diligent Harry, I think he's probably ready for the step up in trip now. He's bred for the step up in trip, and that form was really, really, he's really, really good. Diligent Harry, we know, is an absolutely brilliant yardstick on the all weather, and he did the form no harms when bolting up in a listed race at Lingfield since. So Cool Hoof Luke, I think he has the most unexposed profile going into it. I think he's ready to make up for lost time now that you say the Lingfield. It's a funny one. It's not really, it's never one you have to take into Doncaster in the end at the end of the month. But I'm siding with the Lost King in this race. That Potmaster's a brilliant, brilliant yardstick on the all weather, and you can't go wrong if you beat him, which he did two starts ago, and then was narrowly beaten by him off a £1 higher mark last time out. He's only £1 higher for that in this case, and I think 92 he's got plenty much more to come off that mark. And then, the first race is probably the 205 is probably the hardest race of them all. Look, I was looking at the top of the market thinking Colazane, he should win this race. And I've followed Accrual when he went on a bit of a spree here, or was running brilliantly here in the winters. He might be a bit too high off his current mark of 88 with no claimer on board. It's Rowan Scott that's on board. He was outclassed in listed and class two company last twice, but before that in the winter his record at Wolves read 2-1-2, and I don't think he's never finished out the first two here. So at double figure odds, if he can handle his current mark of 88, he might not be a bad shout. But Cool Hoof Luke, I think, is a real good thing on the card.
Okay, good to know. Ed, we'll come to you. I mean, me and Matt have both mentioned that the Lincoln trial potentially not the best clue for the Lincoln. But Labotte in there is second favourite with Unibet at 9-1 for Lincoln itself. Has some rock solid form, second at Royal Ascot when last seen in the summer. Potentially we're going to see a change. What's your verdict on the three at Wolverhampton?
Yeah, the Lincoln trial at Wolverhampton and the Lincoln on a straight course on the turf are probably very different races, aren't they? So, and traditionally the last few years, the Lincoln, we've always had a well-handicapped horse that's coming through and ends up being almost like listed or group class. So I don't think we'll have any horse that wins today going on to win the Lincoln myself. I think, though, the Lincoln trial at 2:42 will be won by a horse who loves the Lincoln trial and a horse has never won on turf, to back up what I've been saying. Kingdom Come won this race last year, won this race 2 years ago, off a rating of 101 and was third in the race last year off a rating of 103. You can come into today's race, or Saturday's race, off 99, and he was 96 before he won at Kempton, his beloved Kempton. He has won 4 out of 5 there, but obviously, as I just demonstrated, he's okay at Wolverhampton too. So he's in form. He's got the brilliant Ross Orion on board, good draw in stall too. I think he'll go extremely well. We have an extra place in that race at 2:42. The 2:05 I'll go to next. We spoke about Neil King being in good form. Richard Hughes is in almost equally as good form on the flat. I always find Richard Hughes stables to be a bit of a stable like that. They go through periods where they all run well or they all run badly. I don't know whether that's the same for a lot of trainers, but I do notice it about Richard Hughes. He's on a 71% RTF on the Racing Post website, and the last 14 days he's had 5 wins from just 14 runners, and he runs Nebworth in the 2:05. I think Nebworth can hit the high notes and be number one here. 4 from 12 on the all weather. Hasn't won at Wolves, I must say. Billy Locknane's a positive. And if he gets the pace that he needs, he's got a great draw. I did some analysis years ago. You want to be, you know, stall 4, 5, 6 over the sprint distances, just behind the speed is a really good place to be. And if Nebworth gets an early paced race, I think he's going to be in a good position with Billy Lochnane, who is excellent at knowing where to be in a race. We're top industry price on this race, so we will be best price every horse in the race from 11 o'clock. And then finally, the 3:15, we're super boosting this race. I'm going for Cool Hoof Luke, who, you know, as we said, won the Jim Crack, 3 subsequent Group 1 winners behind him, 4 from the Coventry, 3rd in the Vintage. Then obviously had a year off and came back around well, I thought, in a good race last time out at Lingford. Did nothing wrong whatsoever. Back up in trip to 7 furlongs and has got Oshie Murphy on board. And he is the highest rated. He is the best horse in the race on ratings. He's got a lot going for him. The only negative may be if there's a bit of a bounce factor, having run that race off of a 526-day delay. So that would be the only concern. Otherwise, I think it's a really good bet. And Oshie Murphy, so I'm delighted to say, will be joining us at Cheltenham. I invited him when I thought Constitution Hill might run in the Unibet Champion Hurdle. But he's going to come and join us, and he's going to be on the panel at Cheltenham on the Tuesday when we do a panel from 11:30. So that would be great to get his thoughts on Constitution Hill. He's only staying for 3, though, because he's got rides at Wolverhampton in the afternoon evening. So he's going to watch a bit of National Hunt racing. His uncle, we all know his uncle won the Gold Cup, don't we, on Best Mate, Jim Colossi. So he does like hurdling. But I think he'll win here.
Okay, still has his chump's license as well, but I think so. Who knows? Who knows what the future will hold? Cool Hoof Luke 2-1. Matt and Ed both pretty strong on this. And finally, Keith, we'll come to you. Talk us through give us your thoughts on the 3 races at Wolves.
Yeah, we're into the point now where we're actually getting some of the turf horses coming back on the all-weather, aren't we? Just getting ready for the season coming up, getting quite excited as well, because 2 of these races really pertain to the division that I watch more in the summer. It's the sprinters. The first race is 2:05, is actually a sprint. And we've got a horse here called Sank Verde, who hasn't run since the autumn there. But it's exactly the sort of horse you want to see on the all-weather. In fact, his all-weather record really good. He's 7/18 on the all-weather. Much better record here than on turf. And she's a sort of forward-going type, drawing stall 1. All looks really good, doesn't it? You worry about the fitness element, because it's a first run since September at Newmarket. But Oshie Murphy, who we've just been talking about, has been booked. So I don't think that 12-1 lasts, because Murphy's such a popular jockey. The booking of him is a strong suggestion that Tony Carroll certainly thinks Sank Verde is fit enough for this first run of her year. And it just looks like the sort of race where, you know, she's got all the right sort of attributes for a race like this, including a really good draw and a really good jockey. So I just think Sank Verde, who, as I say, it looks like sort of 12-1 immediately after Dex, but that's not going to last long, I don't think. The Lincoln Trial, it's a race I like, but I've not had a great look at it. I like that Labot is running for the first time since Ascot. We still cite Graham Rodway's really bullish interpretation of that horse before it ran at Royal Ascot. If you go and watch it back, he just sits and he said, "What do you think of the Britannia runners? Labot, back it." And he got done by a neck, and we've never let him forget it. Really interesting horse, and I won't be betting him myself, but I'll be hoping he can go on and have a really good season this season. But I actually do really fancy one in the later race. The Lady Wulfruna isn't actually a sprint, 7-furlong race, but quite a few horses here that you'd know if you were into your sprints in the summer. And there's one in particular that I think is really interesting against Cool Hoof Luke, and that's a horse called Prince of India, who had a really good season last season. He won the good 3-year-old heritage handicap at the July meeting. Really strong race traditionally. It's second probably only to the York Charity Sprint in terms of these good 3-year-old sprints, certainly over 6. And obviously after that, he went on to win at the Shergar Cup as well. His season was so good, he actually ended up going off favourite for the Ben Gough Stakes at Ascot on his last run of the year. He pretty much got put over the rail that day. Completely write that race off. And he's always looked like one of those horses that will be as effective at 7 furlong as 6, especially on the all-weather. And, of course, he's got that Ascot form too. One of my favourite flat threes in the summer is Ascot and Doncaster form, translating to the all-weather. So Prince of India, who's coming back for Marco Botti, who's had 2 winners from his last 2 runners, a couple of which were coming back from a break themselves. So Prince of India, you can imagine, is fit. And it's a really big price compared to Cool Hoof Luke. You know, this is basically a pattern sprinter here, and you're able to get bordering on double figure prices. So Prince of India is quite a strong bet for me.
Okay, good to know, Keith. Thank you very much for talking us through those three races. And we are going to head to our best bets after this short break.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, just before we get into the best bets, Cheltenham's just around the corner. Lads, have you got any good winners for us? Can we go into Cheltenham with a bit of confidence? Matt, start us off. You're a man in the north. Surely you've found something for us.
Yeah, we're going even more north than me where I am. We're off to Ayr. We're off to Ayr. What a lovely, lovely place in Bonnie, Scotland. 3:55, a handicap chase there. And I think I'm really, really strong on Classic Maestro for the Jenny Candlish yard. Look, they've had a torrid season in terms of having, they had strangles and had to completely shut down the yard in December, I think it was. And they've just really got back going. They've really hit the ground in March so far. They've had 2 winners from 4 runners, and well, the other one was a third. So they're right back into form. I just think this is a really, really, you know, well handicapped horse on his form. He seems to be better left handed winning wise, but 2 starts ago he ran a really, really good race at Sandown behind Jax Jr. And look, Jax Jr. absolutely bolted up in the Pendle Novices Chase. But I think we're probably all underestimating him I think he'll run quite a big race in the Arc. I don't think he'll win it, but I think he'll run really well for a long time. Look, he was completely outclassed last time in the Ascot Chase. You just forget that. This is a Class 3 handicap chase compared to him being in Grade 1 company against the likes of John Bonham, Pick Dory last time. And he's off a mark of 131, which is just £1 higher than when he ran a brilliant race at Sandown. And, you know, he's won off 129 before, and he's got Luke Scott claiming a valuable £3. I just think they found a really, really good opportunity for him to get back to winning ways. So, yeah, Classic Maestro for me in the 3:55 at Ayr.
Thank you very much, Matt. That's an interesting selection. It's never the most promising, Matt, when you start selection of a horse with strangles, but we got there in the end. You had me worried for a second. Keith, what's yours?
There's an interesting form line that I'm going to be backing on Welsh National Day at Chepstow, a novice handicap chase that was won by Lunar Discovery. He's not been seen yet. We'll hopefully get to see him later. But second was Donica, who obviously went on to beat Jaguar at Cheltenham on Trials Day. Third was Royal Jewel, who's gone on to win at Taunton. And fourth was Western General, who we're going to talk about in a second. But Ben Solo was going to beat them all until he unseated 3 out. And he's in the Jack Richards next week at Cheltenham. And he's one of my flyers for the whole festival. 66-1 NRNB was available when I put him up or first mentioned him. You're getting, there's scraps of 50s left. You know, he shouldn't be that price. This horse turns up, he's really promising. Should be about 25s for the Jack Richards. But what we're needing to get to for today's sort of merit is it's a strong bit of form. Western General has won since. He had wind surgery after, actually, and won since. And he's in the 252 at Hereford on Saturday afternoon. Small field race again. This horse loves whizzing around in front. He's had his wind done, so he looks a lot more sort of willing to go through with it than he was because he's had his wind done. Largie Belter has won a couple of weak races or been running in weak races the last couple of times. Uncle Phil struggling for form a little bit. If I'm scared of any of them, it's Om Dunsoir, who's all right-handed form throughout his career, and he's going back right-handed now. A little bit more worried about him, but really this is exactly the sort of race, this 252 at Hereford, that Western General should thrive in just whizzing around and not seeing a rival. So yes, it's Western General in that race for me.
Well, Keith, great seeing you snuck in a bit of an outsider for the festival as well. We like to see Ben Solo 33-1 with Unibet for the Jack Richards, if you fancy following that Welsh Grand National Day form, which, of course, keep looking at the weather. Usually if you're saying, the sun's out, you don't want to trust that Welsh National form, but it was, of course, run almost on good to firm ground that day. So very strange day, very strange season it's been But Western General is Keith Sip-Tip on Saturday in the 252 at Hereford. Let's come on to our best bets. And Ed, you're in flying form, 11-1 winner on the show last week. Three winners, I think it was as well. What's your big one for the weekend, please?
Yeah, the Lincoln Trial, 242 at Wolverhampton. I hope I'm not going to lead anyone into temptation, but I'm back in Kingdom Come, who hopefully will deliver for us in the big trial at Wolverhampton.
That is at 242 at Wolverhampton. What's yours, Matt?
Yeah, I want to extend my Cheltenham kit as much as possible, so I'm going to take a chance at Sandown and I'm going to retain the big faith in Welcome to Cartrees in the 3:35 at Sandown.
Yeah, I'm going to stay loyal to the West Country roots and go for the Flaggy Shore in the 3 o'clock at Sandown. Just feel this horse is just going to improve a lot for the switch of tracks and finish us off, Keith.
Yeah, I'm going to go against Cool Hoof Luke. I'm going to go for Prince of India in the 3:15 at Wolverhampton.
Thank you very much. So on our panel this week, that was Keith Melrose, if you're watching along in top right. Bottom left, Matt Rennie and Ed Nicholson from Unibet. If you're a fan of the show, do make sure to rate, review and subscribe. And don't miss the postcast for the Cheltenham Festival. Very special edition indeed, coming at Sunday at 7 o'clock. We'll have our top five bets, as mentioned at the top of the show, just getting into the winners. That's exactly what we want, isn't it, before Cheltenham. As for now, do enjoy the rest of the Racing Post coverage on Cheltenham and more on the website, as well as our YouTube and Spotify pages. But have a fantastic weekend. Best of luck. Goodbye. And, of course, gamble responsibly.